Loaded, it comes out of that council meeting.
This is the time set for the planning commission, Roy Planning Commission of June 12th, 2018. It is 6:00 PM. The meeting having been duly posted and published, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, to be led by Commissioner Karas.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number one, does anyone on the commission have a conflict that they need to declare?
No.
Being no answers, we will move to item number two. That is approval of the May 22nd, 2018 work session minutes. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes for May 22nd work session.
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion passes, the minutes are approved as written. Item number three is a request to consider a request to amend the zoning map from RE20 residential estates to R17 single-family residence for the property located in approximately 4248 South, 2900 West. Is the applicant here? Would you come on up, please, sir? Please stand in front of the mic, state your name and your address, and tell us what you want us to hear.
I'm Richard B. Jorgensen. I live at 4248 South, 2900 West in Roy. I'm the owner of the property that's under consideration. It's been RE20, and we wish to rezone that to R17 so we can build homes on the property. And I submitted a map, a preliminary map of what the property would look like when I requested that. It would hold nine building lots, ranging in size from just under 9,000 square feet to up to 12,000 square feet. So they're pretty large lots. Reason for the request to change is I'm too old to play with it anymore. I can't handle the work, basically. So rather than just let it go to pot, I would like to rezone it so it can be.
Any questions from any of the members of the commission?
Which zoning is he going for?
R17.
R17, okay, so that's the 7,000. Okay.
I have maybe need to say something. R17 is the smallest, I understand, smallest zoning. But everything around that is, I think, R17. And it won't make any difference to us as to the way we develop. That's why it was requested R17, and it's on the major map, the, what do you call it?
Zoning map?
The zoning map, it's listed as R17 preferred, so we saw no reason to change to anything different.
Thank you. Chief?
excuse me. As mentioned, this is a property that they're looking to rezone from RE20 to R17. Kind of go through the future land use map. Reason why there's no request for a future land use map is because in the definition of the category within the general plan, that medium density residential, which the general plan asks for, includes R16, R17, R18, and R110. So there's no need, if I go back, you can see on the map that it's all yellow. So that's the designation of medium density single family. So there's no general plan amendment that needs to happen. When you look at the zoning map, kind of in light green is, or fluorescent green, my map is light, is R17, and then the other stuff around it is R16. So in essence, it really meets either one of those two zones, R16 or R17. He's just requested to be R17 because he also owns another parcel just east of it, kind of long ways at the dead end of that road. He owns that as well, so he'll be part of this subdivision when he comes back. But staff is okay with either one, R16 or R17, because they're both there in that area. They're both medium residential, single family, at least according to the general plan. So it would meet either one. So the commission has the ability to recommend either one or both to the council, and then they can decide between the two. So staff recommend approval for either R17 or R16.
Now, if I understood him correctly, the lots are going to be bigger than that anyway.
Yes, I mean, I would have provided the map, but he had a landscaping thing through the middle of the road, and I didn't want you guys getting confused.
Thank you.
So, but you know, it's just going to subdivide as a single family residential, so.
I'll call you back.
There's, you know, he'll have to subdivide it, which will come back to this body anyway.
Okay. Then we'll move on to
public hearing. Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we open the public hearing.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're now in public meeting. If there's anyone that wants to speak about this, please come up to the microphone, give us your name, and give us your address. Anyone?
Mr. Chair, saying that there's no public comment on this issue, I make the motion that we close the public hearing at this time.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's a personal best, right?
Don't mind that.
Okay, sir, you may come back up and talk to us again if you want.
I don't think I can add anything to it, though.
Okay.
Good choice.
Okay, then, at this time, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the recommend approval of the request to amend the zoning map from RE20 residential estates to R17 single family residential with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second it.
We need to do
roll call.
Roll call.
Commissioner Aspey?
Aye.
Commissioner Spahr?
Aye.
Commissioner Andell?
Aye.
Chair Brand?
Aye.
Commissioner Karras?
Aye.
Commissioner Payne?
Aye.
Commissioner Bills?
Aye.
Vote passes 7-0.
Thank you, sir.
This item is on the City Council agenda on the 19th of June. Normally we wait until the first one of July, but it's been canceled, so we pushed it up to June, so next week, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to item number 4, which is also a public hearing, and it is to consider a request to amend Title 10 Zoning Regulations, Chapter 17, Table of Uses, to remove, quote, car wash, unquote, as a listed use within the RC, CC, LM, and the M zones.
And since Roy City is the applicant,
yes,
and the staff, we'll just kind of continue. We've had a few requests from both the Planning Commission and the City Council to take a look at this. Last meeting during the work session, we talked about it. One thing that you guys the commission wanted to look at was a map showing where all the car washes are located, and, oh, I didn't put that on here, I'm sorry. This is in your staff report. If audience needs to look at it, I can give a copy. But anyway, there's, I believe, 12 car washes, whether it be tunnel, manual, or C-store, involved with it. There's actually 14, but two of them are inoperable or not in any condition. Neither one of them are licensed to be car washes. One is in the Sinclair, it's just across, kind of across the street. It's blocked by cars and whatnot. Another one's down by Kent's off of 35 that has been dismantled as a car wash, and the owners actually use it for parking.
Yeah, they got doors on it now.
So. Yeah, so those two are no longer there. This also includes Wash Factory that's done. It's open for business. Quick Quack, which we'll be talking about a little bit later, and then the Murphy Soap and Sud out by 4300 West and 5500 South. So those three new ones are included in those numbers.
And Mountain Shine.
And Mountain Shine.
There's four.
That's, I forget, that's under construction right now by Burger Bar. They all fall within a commercial zone, whether it be RC or CC, and the map kind of shows you kind of where they're at. Majority of them are along 1900 West, with one, two, three, four, well, three of them 3500 West or West. I don't know if you guys, if that answered your questions or concerns from last time.
It helps to know where they are and how many we have.
Now, I think last time was reported there was 18. We don't, there's not that many, but I'm not sure if they were counting some that were might have been Ogden, Riverdale, or in other cities, but within Roy there is not.
At the working meeting, point was raised of whether or not we should or could do this. I see Mr. Flint is here today.
That's correct.
I'm sure he has something to tell us.
Thank you, Chair. In speaking with Mr. Blackburn on this issue, and we consulted a few other people, I think it's important before we start.
For the record, Mr. Blackburn is
the city attorney.
Is the city attorney? You are the assistant. The
correct.
City attorney. Okay.
And I think it's important to kind of lay it out for the commission as well as for the, any public that's here. There's certainly ultimately the city council's decision on many ways they can do this if they want to. I think it's important to note that the most difficult for the city is an all-out ban and saying no more car washes. Legally speaking, to defend that, the city would have to do, quite frankly, a lot of work that it hasn't done. However, the city can limit certain things within a zone, not at will, but much easier. So saying no more car washes ever creates much more burden on the city and quite frankly enhances and increases the likelihood that we'll get sued over that decision, rather than picking a zone or two zones or however you want to do it and just limiting it to certain areas.
Any questions of Mr. Flint by anyone on the commission? Besides me. if I understand correctly, if we quote, outlaw them, ban them, prohibit them yeah. entirely from that, we may face some legal risk,
sure.
incurring costs, attorney's fees, and all that in court costs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Also, we can, though, limit them to a zoning area, mm-hmm. and that is
yeah.
probably without risk, period. Correct.
Well, I mean, there's certainly any risk anytime you
yes.
tell anyone no, right? But the law, and especially specifically in Utah case law, in pretty much indicates the city has the ability to zone essentially at their leisure, mm-hmm. and it becomes the person challenging it, becomes their burden to show some unjust cause. Whereas the council ultimately saying no more car washes ever, it then becomes almost the city's burden to defend that when it's challenged. So it just creates a lot of work. Like I said, it could be done, but we would have to invest a lot of time and resources to essentially create our record and evidence as to why we want to do that. Where, again, the cities are essentially given autonomy to make zoning decisions without the legal risk.
Okay.
And very similar to sexually oriented businesses, that is a particular class that's protected under law.
That's a reach I would have not made.
Well, but I'm just saying, the cities can't just eliminate it, period. They can eliminate, you know, they can limit it in certain zones, what have you. So the commission did this, I'd probably say over a year ago.
Yeah, it was.
Taking it out of the RC zone and putting it into manufacturing. It's not, you know, limited or removed completely. It's just limited. So in the case that Mr. Flynn is talking about, we could do very same thing, is which, you know, pick one or two zones or three or what have you, and say, okay, it's okay in those zones, but not in these ones.
Staff recommend a particular zone or multiple zones?
To me, it's at least the manufacturing zone. You could go to the light manufacturing zone if you want. Most of those are in between the railroad tracks and the DNRG trail. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think in those two zones, it's more okay, so to speak, to do that. I think in a commercial zone, when the city's really, really looking for tax-based type businesses, there are some uses that don't provide that. And I think in our commercial zones, you know, limited to those ones that they're looking for, whether it be restaurants or hotels or movie theaters or, you know, stuff that enhances the commercial itself. Very similar to storage units. You know, we removed it out of the RC zone completely, limited it to CC zones in very specific cases. So, you know, there are precedents to limit it, so.
Are there any questions from commissioners?
Just a quick comment there. On the light manufacturing, there are some zones in the light manufacturing that they could really put some car wash in some fucking places.
Correct. I mean, and I'd probably say 60% of the manufacturing, there's already something on there, or light manufacturing homes or storage units. There are, you know, 40% of the light manufacturing that's just still undeveloped, but most of their reasons why they're still undeveloped is access.
Tracks.
You have the, you know, between the tracks and the DNRG trail, and there's only one access either at 40th South or 4800 South, and the reason why they're not developed is because no one can solve those issues. I'm not saying that someone couldn't, but again, just over history, it's not happening yet.
My preference would be to just keep it in the manufacturing and not the light manufacturing personally.
Was that in the form of a motion?
No, we still have to have a public hearing.
Yeah. We still have to have a public
hearing. Sorry. Okay.
Motion.
I'll entertain the motion to open the public hearing.
With that being said, Mr. Chair, without further ado, I make a motion that we open public hearing.
Okay. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Does anyone want to be heard on this matter? On it? Same story, name and address.
Richard B. Jorgensen. I live at 4248 South, 2900 West. I'm very close to the newest car wash. In fact, it's not adjacent to my property, but very close. And I sense from what I'm hearing here that you have reservations about car washes, and so you're looking at ways to limit car washes. My question, this in the form of a question, is what has the city done to protect property owners that would be affected by the car wash? In my mind, what comes to my mind is, do they have a code that limits distance to this property? Do we have a code that says they have to have a height or sound barrier to protect the residential that would be affected by it?
I'll answer after.
After, yeah.
Do you have any other questions or comments?
That's it.
Okay. How about anyone else?
Glenda Moore, 2088 West, 3825 South, Roy. I'm not totally against car washes, even though I never take my car to a car wash. But it does seem to me that 1900 West is full of them, and we have enough. Especially when we have one car wash that is going to be built where Warren's is, and there's going to be one building, and then there's another car wash. I would like to see 1900 West have no more, because I think we're done there. You know, let's put some buildings that will get some sales tax money in and and get some bodies in, and not somebody to just drive through and wash their car and go to Riverdale and buy another car. So that's all I have. I don't go to the other part of Roy much. I'm just kind of a 1900 West person from where I live over by the library, and I just don't want to see 1900 West, which I still think of as the face of Roy, to be car wash central. I want it to be something else. I want it to be user friendly and people friendly, and not just something to zip in and wash your car and drive back off out of town. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address us? Being none, motion to close the public meeting?
I move that we close the public hearing.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So then Dell seconded?
Yeah.
Now the answers.
Oh, questions, answer, sorry. distance from property, height, and sound barrier. In the current ordinance for both CCRC, LM, and M, community, commercial, regional, commercial, light manufacturing, they're permitted uses. So all the requirements are already listed in the ordinance. There are height restrictions. Again, it depends on which zone, but if it's community commercial, very similar to his property, I believe it's 40 feet. The distance from property, it would just be, you have a 20-foot setback or 1 foot per every foot of height of the building. So if it's a 20-foot building, it's gonna be 20 feet away from property line. If it's 30 feet, 30 feet away from property line. Sound barrier, our ordinance only requires a fence. Now that could be, we ask for opaque, so vinyl, block, cement, but it's really up to the owner of that property that's developing it to pick which one they want. So as it is right now, in every zone, a car wash can come in. There's nothing that says it has to be so far away from each other. It doesn't have to be so far away from a residential zone other than the setbacks as required. I think it was all the questions.
All righty. Then I think I'll entertain a motion on this item.
You have discussion if you want, or more questions? Motion.
Are there any more questions? I'm sorry.
Is there any manufacturing zones down 1900?
Yes, the only manufacturing is on 1900, but it is on the north side of Hinckley.
Any other questions?
I
want to cut anybody
off. No, I just think that if we just left it in manufacturing, then I don't think that there would be any more.
Yeah.
All right, so
I would leave it as a permitted use in the manufacturing, but then cut it out of the other ones.
And that's, just make that part of your motion.
Well, the beauty of it is if down the road we need to make a change, we can do that if we realize that that was the wrong move. So it's not like it's a death nail, so we need to keep that in mind. But I tend to agree with him that manufacturing maybe is where we need to leave it, and then maybe remove it from everything else, because they may have some dirty cars down at that end, but they can always drive a little further, so.
Now, none of this precludes any of the existing ones from going away.
Right.
So everyone, even the one you're going to hear later tonight, has vested rights as a car wash, so it doesn't stop them from coming.
Right.
Now, if they choose not to come, that's their own choice, but every existing car wash just becomes a non-conforming use, but has rights to continue for the rest of their lives, as long as they don't stop for one year period of time.
As long as they remain a car wash.
Right. So it doesn't preclude anything that we've already got.
Then I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we recommend to amend Title 10 Zoning Regulations, Chapter 17, Table of Uses to remove car wash as listed uses within the CCRC LM zones, leaving it as a permitted use in the M zone, manufacturing zone.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
No.
Got a vote.
Commissioner Bills?
Aye.
Commissioner Aspey?
Aye.
Commissioner Nandell?
Aye.
Mr. Karras?
Aye.
Mr. Payne?
Aye.
Mr. Spar?
Aye.
And Chair Brand?
Aye.
Passes 7-0. And this item will also be on the City Council meeting next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
All righty, then we will move on to swimming pools. Item number 5 is a motion to consider, is to consider a request to amend Title 10 Zoning Regulations, Chapter 10, General Property Development Standards, to add swimming pool standards.
Again, this is a city application. It's one of those, someone comes in for a swimming pool and you say, okay, yes, you can have it, and then you look in the ordinance to find the regulations, and they're not there. I first noticed it probably a couple years ago, thought I'll bring it to the Planning Commission, forgot all about it, and again, someone comes up and asks about it. It was in the ordinance prior to 2005, from 1973 ordinance, 2004 ordinance, 1953 ordinance. There was something mentioned about swimming pools, and then somehow in the 2005 modifications of the zoning ordinance, it was left out. I'm not sure if they were thinking it'd just be an accessory use and therefore it falls under those standards. That's the way I've been treating it. But our ordinance doesn't talk about a fence, doesn't talk about a self-locking gate, doesn't talk about anything. So staff kind of went through various cities throughout, you know, Layton, Ogden, cities that would normally have it. Then I sat down with Mr. Flint and kind of proposed the language that's in front of you. Again, just looking for anything that's 20 inches or deeper, we'll consider a pool. So those kiddie pools, you know, we're not concerned about those, you know, 10-inch ones that kids play on, you dump the water out and you walk away. These are ones that are going to be permanent of some sort that are fairly deep. Be in the rear yard, 5 feet away from property, a minimum of 20 feet away from an adjacent residential home. Again, if you're meeting all setbacks, typically, you're not going to be close enough. But again, most cities, I think all but one, had some sort of distance from that, whether it be 20 feet or 15 feet. Some even made it down 20 feet if it's next to habitable space, 15 feet if it's next to non-habitable, your garage. So they went to even more specific. But then talked about a fence needing to be around the pool. Now that could be your backyard or around the pool itself. Just so that there is some sort of fence. It does have a locking gate that's self-closing and self-latching. So if I walk out, it should be able to close itself and basically lock. The next part is, you know, no openings larger than 4 inches, because once you get little kids, they can wiggle through things. So that kind of looks at the building code when you do hand railings, going upstairs, they can't be bigger than 4 inches already, so most kids' heads don't fit through there. Except for maybe a baby that's 3 weeks old, but they're not moving anyway. So, and then we looked at if you're having lighting of any sort, that it needs to be shown away from the adjacent properties to that pool. So this is the language that we recommend.
Any questions of Ms. Parks?
So not a locking cover?
No.
Okay.
Again, that's what the 6-foot fence. I mean, if you're going to walk through the person's house to get to the swimming pool, then the homeowner's taking responsibility. Or this one, the city's not going to be liable because we have certain things in place.
Can we change that 20 to a 15?
And you can modify just about any of it. We'll give you a stern look.
The only reason why I say that is because some of these lots in Roy are very small, so I mean, to put it up, I mean, my house would be off limits.
I mean, yeah, we can amend it to 15 feet.
I would suggest doing that.
Just make that part of your motion.
Okay. Then this is a public hearing, so does I have a motion to open it for public hearing?
Mr. Chair, at this time I recommend that we open the public hearing.
Is there a second?
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. If anyone wants to speak on this matter, please come up to the podium, state your name and your address.
Mr. Chair, at this time, seeing that there is no public comment, I make a motion that we close the public hearing at this time.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Any additional questions?
Anybody? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion.
Since I'm doing them all tonight, I'll just go ahead with it.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair. I make a motion that we approve. Does this go to the council? Or does this go to?
Yes, this will go to council.
So I make the motion that we recommend approval of the proposed amendments to the Roy City Municipal Code Title 10 Zoning Regulations Chapter 10 General Property Development Standards to add swimming pool standards with the change of the minimum of 15 feet from any dwelling on adjacent property. Will that change?
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Commissioner Karras?
Aye.
Commissioner Nandell?
Aye.
Commissioner Ashby?
Aye.
Mr. Spahr?
Aye.
Chair Brand?
Aye.
Mr. Bills?
Aye.
Mr. Payne?
Aye.
Pass 7-0. This item will also be on June 19th. If you really want a long meeting to come to, come next week.
Come next week?
Because okay. Both the budget's on there too.
Oh no.
Should be fun. Okay, we'll move to item number 6. It's to consider a request for a site plan and architectural approval for the Quick Quack Car Wash located at approximately 5331 South, 1900 West. Is the proponent here? Come on up, state your name. Tell us where you live.
Joseph Ernest, 492 West, 1200 North in Springville. Good to be with you. I've talked to Steve. We had a pre-application meeting. I want to thank Steve for his help as well and guiding us through the process of the site plan application. Quite a whirlwind getting everything ready, but we did that. And we're excited at the prospect of the commercial citizen of Roy. Joseph Ernest, who am I? It probably doesn't matter, other than you might want to know who the guy is standing in front of you, otherwise it wouldn't matter. But I'm the entitlement director and general counsel of Lone Star Builders. We exclusively develop and construct all the Quick Quack car washes here in Utah. And it's a great pleasure to tell you about Quick Quack, since they're the ones that would ultimately be here in your city. And before I started in this capacity, I was actually one of the first paying monthly members
the Kwikwak in Utah. Their very first site was in Spanish Fork, and I happened to sign up. And it's been a long story since then, but here I am. So I'll tell you a bit about Kwikwak, and I think they're impressive, and it's great to work with them in this capacity. So Kwikwak currently owns 50 automatic express tunnel car washes located throughout Utah, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, and California. And here in Utah, we started 22 months ago, and we currently have 10 operational sites here in Utah, and they are at, I could do it by memory, it would be slower. So Spanish Fork, Springville, Orem, Highland, Midville, Saratoga Springs, American Fork, Pleasant Grove. We have a second Orem location that's open and a location in Layton that's open. We have sites selected in various stages of development as well here in Utah and construction in the following cities: Centerville, Providence, West Jordan. We have a second West Jordan site: Sandy, Tooele, Provo, Riverton, West Valley, Riverdale, Brigham, and North Salt Lake. So I've been busy. I'm going around to the city meetings, and it's been great to work with all the cities. I've been impressed with the local governments here in the state. Fun fact, Kwikwak was awarded the 2017 Best Utah County Car Wash. It was kind of a big deal for us. And now about the operations themselves, I like that the site plan's up. I think that's important. So kind of be aware of the site plan as I talk to you about what we do as far as the operation of the business itself, the Kwikwak. So our hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the winter, and 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the summer. At 10 p.m., all of our exterior lights automatically switch off, and we don't turn them on until night the next day. We keep the building lights on for security reasons, and the monument sign lights would be on as well. But other than that, that's a good neighbor effort. We do a lot of self-mitigating things to make sure that we're a good neighbor. And a lot of the things that people think of when they think of a car wash, and I can tell from your last vote, a lot of what you think about car washes has actually changed quite a bit. The advanced technology ones have changed quite a bit, and there's been a lot of R&D that goes into it. Like, for example, Kwikwak car wash only uses, on average, 10.16 gallons of water per vehicle, fresh water per vehicle. So we're recycling about 98% of the water we use, and that's through some, it's proprietary as far as what we're doing, but it's a lot of effort in the recycling process, the reclamation process of what we're doing. The reason that's kind of a big deal is if I were to wash my car in my driveway, or you were, you'd use 170 gallons to 200 gallons are the estimates. So it's a little counterintuitive, but these advanced technology car washes, these express tunnel washes, can actually save quite a bit of water for the city. Our sound mitigation, typically people think of sound when they're thinking of car washes. On our site, I don't know if you guys only have a hard copy or you have a screen in front of you. I can't see over that.
Hard copy.
So our sound, as you can see from the site plan, we have vacuum stalls available. A lot of times car washes will have vacuum stalls, and then each stall will have their own central vac engine that's super loud and pretty uncomfortable for the customer. So what we've done is at the end of either row of the vacuum stalls, we have an enclosed, a CMU-enclosed central vacuum engine and with walls that enclose that. So it's just one central unit empowering all of the vacuum stalls. It makes a big difference for the sound. In addition, when our vacuums aren't being used, they're housed in rubber to once again mitigate the sound. So for instance, on this site, 1900 West, without a doubt, is going to be significantly louder than the car wash, without a doubt, given what we do on the site for sound mitigation. In addition, our site is completely self-contained as far as traffic goes. We go through great lengths to make sure that there's an overabundance of space on the site, and as well as stacking lanes. So here on this site plan, I can tell you our stacking and queuing, we have enough capacity just in the stacking for 14 vehicles. And that doesn't even include the ones that are stacking past our past where our employees would meet the vehicles, and we can fit three cars in the tunnel simultaneously as they go through. So our stacking is just Herculean. We would never exceed that amount, although I wish we would, but because that'd be awesome for us economically. We just won't. So we're very cognizant of the neighbors, especially the traffic. Speaking of the traffic and the neighbors, on our site plan, we're showing a curb cutout for Midas on the west side, just south of us. They've been gracious enough to allow us to vacate half of an easement they have, a cross easement they have, in order to give us more space for our vacuum stalls in exchange for a curb cut. So we're going to be asking that that get approved with the site plan. They said that that would really help them out, and we're happy to do that. We'll be doing the cost of that as well. One of the things that really got me going with excited about Quick Quack and excited to work with them is at the Spanish Fork location and then every subsequent location, they do a lot to get involved with the community. That was the biggest selling point for me to even do what I'm doing. So before they opened the Spanish Fork facility, they found a family in Spanish Fork who was in need. And ramping up to the grand opening of the Quick Quack and Spanish Fork, they were advertising to the community to have the citizens come out. And Quick Quack, the day before the grand opening, were donating their premium washes in exchange for donations for that family in need. And then Quick Quack matched the donations. And so since that site, they've been doing it at every single site. It's just been amazing and fun to be a part of. Donations to families or individuals in need have ranged from $5,000 to $10,000 at the grand opening. It's just been super fun. And then after the grand opening, there's 10 days of free washes, 10 days of free premium washes. We've washed in Utah so far just over 130,000 cars for free in those 10 days at various locations. And it's just a lot of fun. We have a mascot, Quaggles the duck. They don't have a suit big enough for me. Douglas, you probably understand. I mean, they don't make suits like that for us. Quaggles will be at the parades. In fact, the last image, Steve, I don't know if you control it, but the last image is that's my son down there, and that's the Springville Parade. And we have a replica tunnel, and Quaggles the duck goes, and then Quaggles will go to your 5Ks and your Easter egg hunts and any of your city activities. We just really want to get involved and be involved. In addition, we donate time from the Quick Quack itself post-operation, so once it's open, for like, the high school football team is a fundraiser. Okay, Quick Quack's gonna donate car washes for 4 hours on Friday afternoon. Donate to the high school football team. So we do stuff like that all the time. And that's what was super impressive for me with them. So they're a company that does more than just talk about getting involved. And that's why I started working with them. And I'm really excited to be here and represent them in this capacity. Other than that, let me, I don't know if you can go back to the site plans, Steve. So you can see they come through our customers would come through the queuing lane the east part of our site, and they would stack and be met by one of our two employees who will be on site at all times. They'll be wearing a white shirt and tie, and they'll be met by one of the two employees who will take their car wash order. The vehicle will then pull around to the west and then south and east into the tunnel. From greeting to exit a tunnel is 3 minutes. Once they enter the tunnel, they'll put the vehicle in neutral and get pulled through. The vehicle will actually get pulled through the tunnel. And then they'll exit, and when they exit, they can turn back into the vacuum stalls or exit onto 1900 West, or drive through the vacuum stalls and exit out onto 1950 West. Half of our customers will vacuum their vehicle on any given car wash. It's a customer base, so there'll be about 3,000 monthly paying members, and they'll wash their car anywhere from 3 to 4 times a week each. And so about half the time they'll use the vacuum stalls. And then in addition to the vacuums, the self-use vacuums, there's an air compressor hose. And the trick I recently learned, which is embarrassing because I've done this for a while, is if you open both your front doors and use the air pressure on your dashboard, and you spray all of the dust off your dashboard out the door, it's unbelievable. It changes your life, and it's awesome. So I recommend you try that, just so you know. And then, Steve, why don't we kind of just go through these? We've worked with Steve a little bit. Actually, maybe the ones I sent you, because our elevations have changed a little bit.
I just threw this one in.
Oh, you did?
These were all, yeah. The elevation you provided was PDF, and it would take me forever to convert it to a JPEG, so.
So that's the gist, but we've made some changes from some of the comments that Steve has had already to us on the DRC comments.
Black and white, I think.
Yes, the black and white, you were able to accommodate us on that. So we've added some dimensions and whatnot to that mechanical room that jetties out from the tunnel, and you can see the brick and the stone, the brick and the stucco. Go ahead and keep going. I'll just giving them the gist. And this is our North Orem location. I wanted to provide some finished ones for you to get an idea, especially any of the color scheme. Yours will be a little bit different because the architectural standards are a little bit more enhanced here. So, but it'll be the same color scheme. That's North Orem as well. Go ahead. That's our Spanish Fork location. And same Spanish Fork. And then the last slide is the Spanish Fork again. And then that's the parade. So if you have any questions for me, let me know. And I really appreciate your consideration. We sincerely want to be a great commercial citizen of Roy. And if we're given that opportunity, we hope to just keep earning it and keep being great commercial citizens. Thank you.
I don't know if there's much I need to add.
I tend to be thorough.
It is a permitted use, so we're looking basically for any approvals. It's basically just subject to DRC comments. They will go through the ordinance.
This elevation that was changed, that's to make it meet our requirement for the flat walls, correct?
I was unaware that this was with the changes, but again. In our comments that you see in your staff report, it does comment that any walls longer than 30 feet have to have some sort of relief. So
when okay, because on the one we have, the south doesn't
right.
appear to be.
Great. And usually you guys would just approve it subject to the conditions of those in the staff report, which is the DRC. So by the time they go to build, they will meet our ordinance.
Any other questions or comments?
So staff would recommend approval both of the architecture subject to conditions as mentioned in the staff report, as well as the site plan. The colors, as you see, are meet our ordinance. Yellow, green, gray, I think there's some black in there as well along the trim. But
are these two separate motions then?
Yes.
Okay.
Then I will entertain a motion.
I will motion that we request, that we recommend the
nope.
request.
In this case, you're approving.
Oh, approving. Approving. That we approve the request for site plan and architectural approval.
Correct. Separate the two.
Okay, for the site plan.
Is there a second for the request to approve the site plan?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We need to add the conditions, don't we, on that one?
No, that's the site plan.
That's
on the architecture.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you didn't, the DRC is not going to let them build without meeting the ordinance.
Then I'll entertain a motion as to the architectural approval for the quick quack car wash.
Just rolls off your tongue.
I move that we approve the architectural approval of quick quack car wash. That 5331 is that 1990.
With conditions.
DRC report.
With conditions as of the DRC report.
There you go.
Is there a second?
I'll second that. Go ahead.
You can. Doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll just write one down.
Okay.
You'll be surprised.
There you go.
Are there
all in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against?
Okay.
That wasn't a nay. I was in favor, just for the record. Thank you. We can move on to item number 7. Commissioner's minutes. Minutes.
However you want it.
Okay, can I have more than 60 seconds?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, being this is my last actual meeting, with the exception of the work session, which is our next meeting as a work session. So, this is my actual last meeting as the formal planning commission meeting, regular meeting. So, with that being said, I would, on the record, like to thank both the previous administration and Mayor Cragen. And also the current administration and Mayor Dandoy for the opportunity to serve the citizens of Roy City for this term on the Planning Commission. It's been I've learned a lot, and I've appreciated that opportunity.
Thank you.
It goes to say, if you really want to serve your community, especially on the development side, this is the body to be in. You know most of the development that goes on.
Yeah. I would like to thank Commissioner
Mandel.
What's his name? I said Candel, but that wasn't right. Commissioner Mandel. He is very helpful to tell that.
You're going to miss me while I'm gone.
Follow the procedures. I am going to miss you while you're gone. Okay? But we certainly appreciate your input and you being a member at least as long as I've been on the commission. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Item number eight.
If we're done with seven.
We're done.
Okay.
I think we're done. Item number eight. Update.
I really don't have much unless you guys have questions about previous site plans or developments going on.
I think we're too well.
Are we going to have a work session later in the month? Maybe.
Well, most topics I've been looking, you know, we've already been discussing, I really don't have much more.
Okay.
That really now, I've got it signed from the mayor to proceed forward. Well, we got the grant from Wasatch Front Regional Council to equal up to $130,000 to do the general plan update, which also includes writing of the form-based code. So everything we've been doing is kind of to help them move that quicker than them starting it from zero. So, you know, having the idea of what the architecture is going to be, materials of those buildings, kind of what the streetscape is going to be, will just help them move it quicker. So I'll kind of turn it over to a third party to actually write it, because I've never written a form-based code before, so I'd be lost. So I'll kind of help them with that, but I don't think there's much more we can discuss unless you really want to have another meeting. You all look like you're excited to have one, so.
We will rely on you to tell us when we need another meeting.
Yeah, I don't have plans for it, so.
Okay.
Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, since it's my last opportunity to do it, because this is pretty much my last meeting then, so I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned.
First time in 2 months, I don't know what you're doing.
Well, I had to step in there, because I only get that opportunity this last time.
What was your last action? I adjourned the meeting.
I forgot to turn this one off the other day, and it lasted 2 hours.